Welcome to the TEEP podcast, brought to you by the State Energy Conservation Office in Austin, Texas, and UH Energy. I'm your host, Gary Gildert, along with interns Carlo Romero and Hisham Habli. We bring you the latest in industrial energy efficiency in 15 minutes or less. First, with the upcoming events, is Carla.
So we have Friday, February 27th, is the Energy in Action Seminar. It's Artificial Intelligence and Energy Processes. It's in University of Houston, Sugarland, and it's from 4 to 6 p.m. Be there. Next is the Pinch Workshop, Thursday, May 5th through the 6th, the University of Houston Tech Bridge. Gary, tell us more about this workshop.
Thanks, Carla. We have Alan Rossiter is our instructor for this workshop. He will bring with him his years of knowledge in pinch analysis. The cost for the workshop is $175. However, most people will qualify for a 100% scholarship from CECO, with 50% scholarships also available. I hope to see you there. I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be a great, great workshop. There's even booklets and worksheets. It's going to be fabulous.
Yeah. Talking about more fun events is the Water Forum that same Thursday, March 5th, also at Tech Bridge.
Exactly. This is our annual Water Forum. We have three excellent speakers lined up for this two-hour event. As Carla said, it's also at the Tech Bridge. It will be following the Pinch Workshop. And following the Water Forum will be the STS AICHE monthly dinner meeting. And we've snagged another speaker on water conservation. Actually, it'll be someone from HARC talking about water and data centers.
Next is the Energy Transition webinar series. It's Tuesday, March 10th at noon.
I'm really excited about this one. Again, we have a member of TEEN for this webinar. It's Todd McAllister from SPEER. And to get more information on their webinars, please go to their website or go to the show notes.
Talking about the workshop and webinar series, Gary, have you been to any good events in the last month?
Actually, I did. The Energy in Action Seminar, AI and Net Zero Journey with Shell. That was actually a really interesting event. That was held February the 13th at the University of Houston Sugarland campus with a gentleman from Shell. Please look at our show notes for more details on that. But it was not recorded, so we cannot really give you a lot of details, except they did talk about AI and data centers, how it could affect the global outlook for energy. Their basic conclusion was it's not going to have a big impact globally. However, in Texas, that's a different story, and actually challenged him a little bit on that. And he admitted, yes, it's going to have a much bigger impact on Texas, where we live. So there's going to be a lot more about AI and data centers coming in our future podcasts. The other event to talk about, and everyone here, I hope, has seen it, was the Energy Transition webinar series. Another person from the TEEN Network appeared on that webinar. That was our friend Dub Taylor from PACE, talking about project financing. This was recorded, so I encourage you to go to the ETI website to find that recording. Next up, we're going to talk about some articles that we've read. Specifically, Carla, tell me about some of the articles you've read about on AI and energy efficiency.
Yeah, so the AI is becoming more popular now, and so is AI-powered energy management systems. They continuously monitor, analyze, and optimize energy consumption patterns across industrial facilities. And really, these systems use algorithms, machine learning algorithms, to predict equipment energy needs, maintenance. They identify inefficiencies, and they also automatically adjust operations for its optimal performance.
There's some pretty crazy claims that I'm reading on some of these articles.
Yeah, they say they provide real-time process adjustments that human operators cannot match in speed or accuracy.
Yeah, well, I was in plant operations for just about 10 years myself, and associated with plant operations for quite a few years after that as well. And yes, I will agree that perhaps AI can identify some of these unusual patterns a lot faster than the average engineer or operator, but can they make the right decisions?
Yeah.
This is my biggest concern about these AI systems is they can hallucinate. They can come up with ideas that perhaps don't fit with good science. And that's where it gets quite interesting.
Yeah. So we should treat it as a useful overview of the technology landscape, but this really needs to be looked more into and be cross-referenced with more peer-reviewed research.
Absolutely. Using AI as a tool for identifying patterns, that sounds like a good idea. Allowing them to change your process, I would put a pause on that one.
I agree.
Hisham, you've been doing some work on plastic recycling, doing a little bit of research. Tell me what you have found.
Yeah, so I came across this fact sheet from the Global Council for Science and the Environment, and it's a full advanced recycling fact sheet, kind of breaking down everything to do with recycling plastics.
Well, that sounds like a great start for your research.
Absolutely. And this is kind of the base work, which we will post on the UH Energy Teep website for you to be able to check it out for yourself. But I would like to, you know, discuss a little bit about, you know, what's on this fact sheet.
Okay. Give us a brief breakdown of what's on that sheet and how you're going to use it as a stepping stone for your research.
So before I begin talking about the different advanced recycling methods, I wanted to briefly talk about incineration. It is the most common form of providing energy from the plastics rather than doing landfill, and simply provides thermal energy from the plastics. But there are other methods of using heat to break down these plastics into usable products, or as well as to produce energy as well. So one of the thermal decomposition processes is gasification. And gasification is a low oxygen process using heat to thermally degrade plastic polymers. And this is very useful for any high density polyethylene or low density polyethylene, as well as polypropylene. Then there's also pyrolysis, which we've discussed before, especially in referring to hydrogen. But in this case, we're using pyrolysis to thermally degrade these plastic polymers as well. And then again, this is also very useful for high density polyethylene, low density polyethylene, polypropylene, and also polystyrene. And another one is the hydrothermal processing, where you're using high temperature and high pressure water to degrade these plastics again. But in this case, you're producing oil and syngas. Again, used for high density polypropylene, low density polypropylene, polystyrene, and also PVC. Then we get into another section of this fact sheet is the chemical decomposition processes that it presents. So there's the process of chemolysis, where you're using a catalyst and heat as well to degrade these plastics, good for high density polypropylene and low density polypropylene. So with the chemical decomposition processes, the first one is the chemolysis, where you're using a catalyst and heat to degrade these plastic polymers into the basic plastic monomers, useful for high density polyethylene, low density polyethylene, and polypropylene. Another one is enzymolysis, so this time we're using an enzyme to degrade these plastic polymers into the monomers instead. This one is actually very useful for polyethylene terephthalate and also high-density polyethylene, low-density polyethylene, and polypropylene. The last one in the chemical decomposition processes is solvolysis. So solvolysis is when you use a selective solvent extraction, and you can utilize these chemical solvents to extract these chemical additives from the plastic waste to produce what's considered a virgin polymer. So you're taking all of the additives that would be in that polymer. And this is very good for polyethylene terephthalate, high density polyethylene, low density polyethylene, and polypropylene. The last section is the chemical purification process, when you're just using a selective solvent extraction. So it's a very selective way of removing any additives that were introduced to that polymer. And it's mostly used for polypropylene, but it could also be used for any synthetic fibers as well.
This is a lot of processes to go through. So how are you going to be evaluating these different processes?
So with these processes, mostly what I would focus on is the thermal decomposition process and kind of looking at just the heating value that would be provided from whatever the product is. You know, we're not going to look at so much the economics in terms of the value of the products that can be produced after you do these chemical decomposition processes, even though there are very valuable products that can come from this, breaking things back down into the monomers, and then you can then polymerize it or change these molecules in whatever way you want. In the perspective of, you know, the Texas Industrial Energy Efficiency Program, we will focus on the actual energy input and energy output of products that come from gasification, pyrolysis, hydrothermal processing, and incineration as well.
So we can look at all of these processes through the lens of energy conversion efficiency. And that's what we do around here.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to looking deeper into all of these processes. And I also look forward to writing this up in next month's newsletter for March.
I'm looking forward to seeing what you come up with. So that's it for this week. Thank you very much. This has been the TEAP podcast brought to you by the State Energy Conservation Office of Texas and the Media Lab at University of Houston. I'm your host, Gary Gildert. I was joined by Carla Romero and Hisham Habli. We'll be back next week with an interview delivering industrial energy efficiency in 15 minutes or less.